Honey, I'm out.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to Lady Radio, the new radio show of CITR's Women's Collective. I'm Claire, and we're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in the Nest.
Cool. I'm Callie, and you just heard Orange Blossom by Gardens and Villa. They're from Santa Barbara, and they are super dreamy and sexy and just makes you want to take a nap and lie down in the best possible way. So we would also like to say that our thoughts and condolences are with those affected by the events in Paris and their loved ones.
Yes. So today on the show, we'll be hearing a feature by Dora Dubber about LGBTQ plus education association out in schools, as well as an interview with local musician Sarah Jickling about... We'll find out.
Yeah. About all the stuff she's got going on, and her new record coming out, her new single, and mental health, and all sorts of fun stuff.
Cool. All right. So, also we'll be checking in with the Lady Radio crew for a chat about their thoughts on the new cabinet.
But before that, we're going to play you another little tune, this time by Missy Elliott. It's called WTF, Where Are They From? Dora's going to tell you.
It's great.
It is great.
Also, go watch the video and observe Missy Elliott as a disco ball.
Pure gold.
Disco ball, people. Okay. Here we go.
Make you think you're drinking. Yeah. Head to the floor, don't collect that dough. You better huddle up, cause the beat's so cold. Pop that cock, give it low. This another hit, I got an ace in the hole. Boys on my back, Claire, did you pick that? You got a small stack, Claire, you can keep that. I'm a Big Mac, make you wanna eat that. Like, yak it to the yak. Yeah. Jump in the trunk, make it pumps in the bump. Girls wanna have fun, make you sticking out the tongue.
The dance that you're doing is dumb. How to do where you from? Hey. Sticking out the tongue. A bunch of girls do it and the shit look fun. That's how they do it where we from. You know it don't start till one. That's how they do it where they from.
I come into this bitch like liquid. Drip, drip, then the business. Click, click, get your picture. Hermes, trips me against this. Hey, witness, and get lifted. Basic, nigga, I was born in the basement. Shape shift, nigga, I think like a spaceship. False, oh no, no, no. I am so different than y'all, so far apart. The way that I balance the bars, I never fall. And if I do, I just mighty yellow star, God. Lyrically, I'm Optimus Prime. Don't call, I drive. Look for a ride. When I go by, smoke in your eyes. So open your eyes. The joke's on you guys. And you ain't gotta be a mason to see through some of this shit on occasion.
What? The dance that you're doing is dumb. How to do where you from?
Hey.
Sticking out the tongue, girl. But you know you're too young. A bunch of girls do it and the shit look fun. That's how they do where we from. Make a new track, make them fall on they crack. What? Give them a slap, appetizer, and snack. I'm so fat in the back, make the boys all collapse.
Yeah,
yeah, when I rap, they be all on my jack. Boys wanna tap on this pussy cat. Got a new idea, let me switch it. Man, I'm so futuristic. Big lips and big, big, big hips. Body be thick like a biscuit. I'm
different, ripping shit, microphone gripping it, getting these Benjamins, new car whipping it. I'm so far ahead of y'all, man, I'm on top of the stars. I don't care none of your all, blah, 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 blah. You best to go rewrite your balls. How to do it, where you from? Hey. How to do it, where you from? That's how to do it, where we from? Hey. That's how they do it, where they from?
Shut it, what?
How they do it, where you from?
Hey!
How they do it, where you from? That's how they do it, where we from? That's how they do it, where they from?
Hi! So we're here with Dora Dubber. Who attended?
Duber. It's Duber.
We just had a discussion about this, so I messed up.
It's okay.
Okay. Anyway, so she attended Out in Schools along with Paula Stiegler and met with the Out in Schools organizer to learn some more about the organization. We're going to talk to Dora.
Hey. Unfortunately, Paula can't make it anymore, but we went to... this great little presentation by the Out in Schools program, which is this really amazing thing under Out on Screen. And we interviewed a bunch of people who were at the event. Unfortunately, I kind of lost a lot of the footage that we got. But I just wanted to note, we talked to Patty Baucus, who is a school board trustee, and she talked about the SOGI, sexual orientation and gender identity policies that are being implemented. We talked to James Ong, who is the board chair of the organization. And we talked, and another one of the people that we spoke to was Andy Humes, who is a UBC student. And then we also just talked to a bunch of really great people in the LGBTQ community, and it was a really great event. It was awesome.
That sounds amazing.
Thank you.
All right, cool. Well, let's get your interview started.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. Being bullied or discriminated against because of your identity. Lady Radio is curious about how youth are thinking about LGBTQ issues. We feel it is very important that young people especially are aware of the sometimes problematic consequences that come with identifying oneself as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. Being bullied or discriminated against because of your identity is a sad reality that many people in our society have to deal with, and this is especially prolific in high schools. The Human Rights Campaign projects that 92% of LGBTQ youth hear negative messages about identifying as LGBTQ at school, on the internet, or from their peers, and are twice as likely to have been physically assaulted at school. Out in Schools is a wonderful project that tries to combat the stereotypes that cause discrimination and to create an understanding of LGBTQ issues. Their website, outinschools, all one word, .ca, identifies them as some of the most prolific young LGBTQ artists, advocates, and changemakers in the province. Their presence is proof that LGBTQ youth have the perseverance, imagination, and charisma to become inspiring youth leaders. Out in Schools is an organization under Out on Screen, which hosts the Vancouver Queer Film Festival and screens independently produced films that encourage the community to engage with the challenges and triumphs of the LGBTQ community. The films work to humanize LGBTQ youth and engage this generation of youth and allies with the issues at hand. Moreover, their aim is not just to inform youth, but to encourage them to take action. Out in Schools hosts the Rise Against Homophobia, or RAW, video contest. Students can engage with the issues and help make the school a more inclusive environment by making a short film. Information about how to submit films and the festival in general can be found at reelyouth.ca or on the Out in Schools website. Out in Schools can be invited to schools in and around Vancouver and BC to give their presentation and answer any questions students might have. The organization tries to bring the topic of LGBTQ youth into the classrooms, and Paula and I had the chance to attend one of their presentations at Lord Byng Secondary School. Afterwards, the Out in School program coordinator, Brandon Yan, was interviewed for more details.
My name is Brandon Yan, and I am the Out in Schools program coordinator.
Could you please just describe the basic goal of Out in Schools?
So Out in Schools is basically a program to bring LGBTQ content into schools in BC to start the dialogue on homophobia and transphobia, essentially. And basically the starting point for people to not only build awareness of the issues facing our community, our LGBTQ community, but also build empathy and an emotional understanding of how other people are affected by systems of oppression.
Could you just talk about the, like, evolution of the organization?
Yeah, so it's a kind of a confusing structure. So Out in Schools actually belongs to Out on Screen. So Out on Screen is the parent organization, the actual registered charity functioning body. And Out on Screen has two programs, one being the Vancouver Queer Film Festival and the other being Out in Schools. So we are kind of the sister program to the Queer Film Festival.
You guys do a, like, a youth film festival kind of thing. Is that associated with the Queer Film Festival?
Yeah, so one way in which we've connected Out in Schools with the film festival is that we, over the last few years, had a program called Rise Against Homophobia, or RAW for short. And what we did with that program started before my time, but it's been, I think this is probably its fifth year, with a hiatus in 2013, 2014. And so essentially that program encourages young people to create PSAs that challenge homophobia and transphobia. And the winners are basically chosen by a group of young people. And the winning films get screened at the film festival. A huge incentive is actually having your film screened in front of a festival audience of hundreds and hundreds of people. In the past, I think it's been a lot of people who identify as allies, so people who identify as non-LGBTQ. One of my goals this year is to engage not only allies and how they can step up in their position as allies to how they can make space for queer and trans youth to either star in their stories or be able to contribute to those stories in some meaningful way, but also how does an ally tell a story? How do allies understand the lives of LGBTQ youth? So rather than just assuming these things and kind of bringing up all these weird stereotypes that get reproduced in media over and over again, how do we reach out to allies who are curious and want to create meaningful art? And also just encouraging young queer and trans folks to tell their stories, to tell their own stories. Two out of the three winning films were created by people who identify as LGBTQ. It was built from a place of where I think other people who identify that way can be like, yeah, like that's how I feel too. They see themselves represented rather than being the victim all the time, which is not to say that the stories that show victimization are important, because I think there's still a lot of violence and in the community, but it's also important to show people the hope and the happiness that can come from being yourself.
Besides, like, the students, like, what other groups do you work with?
So some schools, or actually most schools, I think, nowadays have, like, social justice classes. It's a class, like, social studies that specifically focuses on social justice issues. And so I will tailor the presentation based on their interests in social justice, even though basically what I do is social justice, I think. But sometimes they need less information on terms and concepts, and they just want to know more about, like, other things that are happening in our community. And I also like to bring an intersectional lens to it. So how does race and gender and all the things mash up to create the way we experience the world. And so oftentimes they're aware of kind of intersectional issues, but don't have the language to talk about them. We also do a lot of work with organizations like Mosaic and ISSBC. So we do presentations to immigrant and refugee youth who might be their first time ever discussing sexuality or gender, which is really interesting. And to find films that can connect with folks across like language barriers as well is really important for me. And also to make sure that our films are also representative of diversity and all its manifestations, which is really cool because, like, so the Burnaby conference, as of that not too long ago, we showed, like, one of the first films, the Boys and Girls film that we showed, and I was like, what did you think? It's like one of the characters was a POC, a person of color, and they were just so excited that they like, saw some representation on the screen, and I was like, that brings me so much happiness.
Have you ever, like, come across someone who, in your presentations, was like, this is, like, not what I'm not with this? How do you create, like, a safe space for them to voice their opinion, but then also kind of be like...
for the most part, in my experience, I haven't run into any awkward or awful conversations with young people. For instance, I did two presentations in Surrey yesterday, and when we show films, we usually ask, like, so how did you feel? Like, how did it make you feel? In talking in feelings, I feel like there's more legitimacy in feelings, because, like, you can't... Like, if you feel uncomfortable, that's what you feel. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a good or a bad thing. It's just you felt uncomfortable or you felt anxious. And we heard some of those comments yesterday, like, it made me feel uncomfortable or anxious. And so we try to probe deeper into, like, so what made you uncomfortable? And, like, being really open about, like, how they feel is okay, but then getting to the root of why they feel a certain way. And so that's usually a much more helpful way in talking about these issues than saying your uncomfortableness is, like, wrong or unjustified. It's just their level of familiarity with the content, the concepts and the terminology is just not there yet. But I think that's part of our program, is to build that into young people. It's like, we're building empathy, really, is what we're trying to do, which is why we show a lot of really powerful films that try to trigger those emotions so you feel something for another human being rather than just seeing, you know, a teacher talking about these people exist, treat them nicely. And so we're trying to go beyond the usual bullying education of, like, statistics, bullying is bad, don't do it, where we're trying to get to people's feelings and how they feel about other human beings and how it's okay to feel what you feel, but also, like, understand why you feel what you feel. And they're much more open to talk about those things in an environment like that than where we come in very hostile and, like, treat me equally, which is what I want you to do. But I feel like there's much more meaningful learning happening if we talk about our emotions and our feelings and all those wonderful wishy-washy things, but I think are actually legitimately very helpful in schools because we don't talk about our feelings often. It's always, like, very practical.
Do you think film is like the optimal medium to talk about and kind of express and get that conversation started?
Yeah, I think it's a really great medium to work in because it does tend to stir emotions. And, like, for instance, the film I Don't Want to Go Back Alone, The Blind Boy, it gives us these really great insights into someone else's life that I would never have. There's a scene where Leo, who is the gay blind boy, picks up the shirt of the person he has a crush on, and he picks up the shirt and smells it. And usually young people go, like, ew, gross! And then I, like, pose the question afterwards, like, well, why did he do that? You know, talking about how we fall in love is usually a very visual experience. Like, when I see someone across the room and I'm like, oh, they're attractive, I'm gonna go talk to that person, etc. But, like, if you don't have those cues, how else do you fall in love? And we talk about your different senses, and, like, it kind of gives you an insight of, like, why that isn't gross or creepy. But that was their initial feeling, was to feel uncomfortable with it. But then we talked about it. I'm like, oh, well, that's him falling in love.
The Trans Day of Remembrance is coming up. Mm-hmm. Do you ever focus on different L or G or B or T or Q kind of issues, like, depending on the time of year or events that are coming up?
We have, and I think that's one of the strengths of our program is that we have a team of facilitators that come from a diverse array of backgrounds, people who identify as non-binary, people who identify as trans. And so I try to offer them those spaces to do those things, because it's as a cisgendered man, sometimes I feel uncomfortable in the sense of, like, trying to host those conversations where it's like, that's not really my place. My place is more to make room for that conversation to happen if as a program coordinator. So sometimes we will. I think we have, and again, this is my first year doing this, so I actually haven't come up to this event. In the past, we have taken part in conversations, I think, in some of the work around the Trans Day of Remembrance. But I don't have any personal experience with that. But in my general programming, again, it's me trying to find those stories that aren't often told that are important to tell. And so it's representation on screen. And it's I think a lot of our films now have somewhat better gender balance than they have in the past. We still have not very many films around trans folk, especially people of color. And we definitely don't have any films around anyone who identifies as bisexual or lesbian, which is unfortunate. But it's like, last year I spent lots of time watching films, but just, like, some of them were just, like, either not appropriate for school, that, you know, we show it and teachers would definitely not want us to have us back, and some of them just generally weren't engaging for young folks. Hoping to find some of that content, which is trying to balance my work of, like, doing the program, watching film all the time, and, like, delivering presentations and stuff like that.
Well, you're doing an excellent job, because
thank you.
Even though I got, like, a little dose, I absolutely loved presentation, and I think your work is very important.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's a lovely little program. I love my job, and there are lots of difficulties being a nonprofit, but and also just, like, trying to find content to show can sometimes be very difficult. But
no, well, do you want to, like, quickly talk about how people can get involved?
I mean, generally, most people involve themselves by, I generally don't like plugging the program like this, but funding the program. We do, I think during the presentation you heard that we actually received very little government funding. So a lot of the people who give to this program have gone through those terrible high school experiences and, like, why wasn't this program around when I was in high school? And so they know what it's like to not have this programming. So they're often the people who just step up to do those things. We have some corporate funders as well. So funding is a good one to get involved with. The other way is if you're in education, teacher or something like that, or a young student in high school or middle school, like, you can just reach out to go to outinschools.com and figure out how you can get us into your classroom. It's really easy. You just need to invite us. And then for the most part, we don't have the capacity really to take on volunteers. There are some volunteer roles that people are interested in that as well, but they're not the kind of fun to go out and chat with young people roles, because those require criminal record checks and all the things.
Thank you. When Shanna Larson was a little girl, she already had artistic talent, and it was clear that she would be quite an athlete. But Shan always knew what she wanted to do with her life. She wanted to teach. Shan was only 24 years old when she lost her life to breast cancer. And now it's her spirit that will teach us. Teach us to take care of ourselves. For more information, visit teamshan.ca. Breast cancer, not just a disease of older women.
Has mental illness or addiction touched your life? You might be interested in coming out to the Kaleidoscope, UBC's first and only student-created, peer-run mental health support group at the university's Vancouver campus. They offer a stigma-free place for people to share their stories with others going through similar experiences. The Kaleidoscope meets every week on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Center for Student Involvement in Brock Hall.
Learn more at the-kaleidoscope.com.
You just heard Anything by Tops. Tops is from Montreal. Great band, great tunes. They're going to be in Vancouver at the Biltmore this Saturday night, so go check them out if you liked what you heard.
All right, now we're turning it over to Katie McIntosh, who interviewed Sarah Jickling last week. Sarah Jickling is formerly of the band Oh Wells, and currently she's in Sarah Jickling and Her Good Bad Luck. Listen now.
Of Sarah Jickling, formerly of the Oh Wells.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she is now, after a break, onto a solo project called Sarah Jickling and Her Good Bad Luck.
That's right. It's kind of a mouthful, but I like it.
Oh, it's great. I love it. So she has a new single out right now called Cry Baby.
Yeah, that's been out for maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Well, thank
Super
you.
Fun.
Thanks.
So, what does it mean to you to be a crybaby?
I cry all the time. And my whole life has been, I guess I've been feeling a little bit guilty about how much I cry. I think that it's definitely been a problem in my relationships, both friendships and romantic relationships. I think it's caused some problems in my family. I'm just a very emotional person. But it's only been very recent that I've decided, okay, that's part of who I am. I cry all the time. It's one of my responses. Other people get angry. Some people, you know, laugh at everything, and I cry. I'm a crybaby.
Yeah, no. Owning who you are.
Yeah.
Great. So was the song inspired by a particular time in your life or a particular event or just like being a crybaby in general?
Well, you're right that it's been kind of a general theme in my life, but it was a specific time where kind of everything was going wrong and I was crying. Like, for days. I was on the floor of my kitchen one day crying for hours, and my neighbors knocked on my door and left a note, like, are you okay? Like, we can hear you crying. What's going on? I was going through a breakup, obviously. That's a big one for a lot of people. But I had also just been diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
And I was on all of these medications, and they were just playing with my mind. I couldn't tell which way was up. I remember getting lost on the way to the grocery store, which is a trip I've done a million times.
Yeah.
And so I was just confused and tired and lonely, and it all... my screws came loose. I didn't stop crying for, it felt like months that I was crying. And finally I sat down and I was like, I have to write about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where Crybaby came from.
That's where that song came from. It was on an evening, I guess, where I'd been crying again for hours. And it was one of those moments where I was like, I have to get this out onto, I don't write on paper. I have to get this out into the air. I have to say something about this. It was one of those songs where I don't really remember writing it. I just started playing. I had a drum beat in my head, kind of like the claps. And I thought, okay, I like that a lot. I'm going to just sing over it. And I don't remember how, but an hour later I had the song Crybaby. Yeah.
Awesome. So it is a really, like, cheery song, and what you describe sounds kind of dreary.
Yes, exactly.
And the same thing goes for the aesthetic of the video. You got people crying in front of this super bright background, and it's really beautiful. What was the motivation for having that contrast in both the song and the video?
Yeah, that contrast has kind of been the theme of my life. I mean, I'm a very upbeat, cheery person when you meet me, I think. I remember someone said, you're either the saddest happy person I've ever met or the happiest sad person I've ever met.
Right.
It's just like, and I think that's part of being bipolar, especially having bipolar type 2, which I have, because you go into hypomanic states, which include feeling really excited about life and just like feeling amazing and feeling like you can do anything. And then you go down into depression and you just want to be dead. And so having that kind of those two contrasting emotions, sometimes weekly, it became a part of, I think, how people saw me, became a part of my identity.
Right, yeah.
Especially when it was going untreated. And it became a part of how I saw myself.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, bright colors, I love bright colors. I love happy music. I love pop music. But I also, one time, like, didn't come out of bed for 3 months because I was crying. And those are both parts of my personality. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's totally understandable. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially, I feel like there's a lot of girls who, I don't know, have that kind of cheerful, upbeat demeanor, but are also very sensitive.
Yeah.
And so being sensitive just means you're going to get hurt more.
Yeah, exactly. So did you feel the need to hide that? And, like, is sharing it with people, are you finding that there's – is that empowering for you?
Yeah. And I was just thinking about this because I was just working on my talk for the Interesting Vancouver
it's happening
event.
November
5th. And that's kind of about accepting my bipolar. And I think that writing songs about my emotions and my mental illness was a big part of accepting my life and who I am. And as soon as I started writing about it, I started getting emails from people saying, hey, thank you for writing about this. It reminded me that I'm not alone. And that inspired me to write more.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So do you think that sharing that kind of stuff, do you think that people perceive that as a weakness in general? You just described some people coming out and, like, really being touched by it, right? But, like, in general, do you think it's perceived as a weakness to be vulnerable, both in, like, being sensitive and crying, but also being vulnerable about your mental health?
Yeah, definitely by some people. I think that, of course, crying a lot is seen as a weakness. I think, especially because it's related to, a lot of people think of having lots of emotions as something that's feminine. And in this world that we live in, that's often seen as a weakness. So I think it's hard for me. I think it's harder for men who experience just strong emotions in general and also mental health issues. And I've seen that in my family too. But definitely there's lots of stigma around mental illness, especially when you're trying to get a job or something like that, where people feel like, oh, we need someone who's really reliable and who, you know, we don't want to gamble on someone who might break down at any moment. And I'm still going to try my best to show up to a job. I'm a hard worker. It doesn't mean that I'm not strong or smart. It just means that sometimes I have to take a day off, or sometimes I have to take my medication.
Yeah.
That's all it says about me.
Yeah, totally. So do you think that people being vulnerable then, like, and sharing kind of their emotional side and viewing vulnerability as a strength is gaining popularity in general?
Definitely. I am excited because I feel like I'm part of a movement that is happening everywhere, at least in North America. I'm not 100% sure about, you know, the world as a whole, but there's a lot of musicians out there, especially, who are opening up about their mental illness, and they're being received well. So I'm really glad that I'm a part of that.
I definitely see it and notice it, and I love that it's happening. And I think it is also something that, as a woman, it feels really empowering to be able to share with people and then connect with people over that kind of thing, and then, like, gain momentum.
Well, I feel like it's changed even, like, since I was first diagnosed, which would have happened, like, maybe 5 years ago, was the first time someone said to me, you have bipolar. And I said, no, I don't, because I had never heard of it really before, other than in television shows where the people who had bipolar were shown as just totally crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I was like, I don't have that. Like, that's not what I am. And I just rejected it and I didn't get help. I never went back to that doctor again. And then as more people started opening up about it, specifically the comedian Maria Bamford, for me, was the most helpful. She started talking about it. And I said, okay, well, maybe I do have this, because these people, to me, are strong and smart. So maybe bipolar isn't what I think it is.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so common that, like, once we see representation, right, of something that we can identify with, it takes so much pressure off of an individual. Yeah.
It's so important to have all types of people represented in the media.
Yeah, totally.
It was just way less scary once I learned that so many people were experiencing it.
Yeah. So is that something that's important to you as a musician and as someone who is obviously making a lot of stuff happen, to provide opportunities for various marginalized identities?
Yeah, I think that's why I'm doing it right now. I don't think of myself as a musician so much as, like, someone who shares stories. I always thought of myself more as a writer, and it's really important to me to share my story just because I understand how much sharing stories helps people, because it's helped me. So a lot of times I think, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to keep doing this. And the only thing that keeps me going is that idea of, if I keep going, maybe I can make change in the world.
Yeah.
You have to have a purpose when you're in this kind of industry, because it pushes you down, it knocks you down constantly, so you have to have a reason to get back up.
Right, cool. Yeah. So is that the kind of thing, like, is that what inspires you to do things like your tribute nights and...
Yeah, I was asked to do, I decided to do the Beyonce tribute night because I love Beyonce. I want to celebrate local Vancouver artists, especially female artists mm-hmm. in Vancouver.
And that was in June.
That was in June. And I hadn't played, that was like my first show in a long time because I'd taken a break to deal with my mental health. And then I decided that I wanted to partner up and give some of the proceeds to the Women's Health Collective, because I thought, I don't want to be making a ton of money off of Beyonce's songs. I didn't write them. And I think that this money has to go somewhere where it's going to make a difference. And I had worked at a coffee shop on East Hastings, so I got to know some of the people who work there, and I know that they do really great stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about them. And so when I decided to do the Taylor Swift tribute night, I was asked to do that one because the Beyonce one was so successful.
It was also so awesome.
It was fun. It was super fun. And so and of course I was like, yes, I love Taylor Swift. I'm going to do this. And I tried to get even more female artists this time. So it's almost all female artists this time. I went back and said, but I want to do it for the Women's Health Collective again, because they were so grateful and excited for the money. And I just, when I went over there and saw the place, and I was like, we need to stay connected.
Awesome. So obviously you've got a thing for pop music.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically all I listen to now. Just pop music all day.
Awesome. So what is it, like, how does pop music make you feel?
Well, I don't know if there was, like, a point in time where I made a switch to pop music, because definitely when I was a teenager, I was like, I'm too cool for this stuff.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I was definitely way too cool for pop music.
Yeah, and it's weird, but I think it was actually around the time that I started developing the symptoms of bipolar, because they usually develop in your early 20s or your late teens. I was feeling so upset and so sad, and these songs were almost like antidepressants, you know, I mean, the chords that they use, they're written by experts, all of them, pretty much, so they know how to make people feel good. It's scientific, almost, the way that they write those songs, and the effect that they had on me, I mean, I sometimes listen to the same song for, like, 5 hours in a row, and it's just like, I just want to feel good, and the song is making me feel good, and that's what I see pop music as.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Sarah is going to be sharing a song in the studio today called When I Get Better.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Get my ukulele.
So this is Sarah Jickling of Sarah Jickling and Her Good Bad Luck singing When I Get Better.
When I get better, you'll be mine. And we'll go dancing all the time. And I'll be beautiful. My dress will show a little skin, and I will never think of dying or call you up at midnight crying. No, I will only laugh and smile, and you'll feel careless like a child, and you'll say you can't live without me, and you'll write all your songs about me. When I get better, if I get better, when I get better, I swear it's true, I will be taking care of you. And do all that.
Mark your calendars. Discorder Magazine's fall fundraiser is around the corner. Wander out of your multi-week post-Halloween stupor and directly into the Astoria this November 19th for live performances by Revered, TV Ugly, Mesa Luna, and Late Spring. DJ Danny Vancouver will have all night sets in between the bands. With doors opening at 8, tickets are only $5 at the door before 10 p.m. and $10 after. Proceeds go towards supporting Vancouver's longest-running independent music magazine. Discorder needs your help to stay in print, so come on up for a night of sweet tunes and keep alt coverage of Vancouver and Canadian music, arts, and culture alive. Visit www.discorder.ca for all the details.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
The room.
Join us every Wednesday from 10 to 11 p.m. for Sexy in Van City with your host, Caroline McGilvery. Sexy in Van City focuses on all things that are sexy in Van City, such as relational and sexual health with oneself, partners, and current events in the city.
Yay! All right, that's all the time we have for today.
And just a quick note, the first song we played, Gardens and Villa, they are playing this Tuesday, November 17th at the Cobalt, if you're interested.
And for a couple of other events happening this week that you might want to check out, one is Access Gallery is having their fundraising event of the year tomorrow evening. It's called A Vibrant Assemblage. It's an auction. It's going to be a lot of fun, so come on out.
Also on November 26th, Anecdotal Evidence is happening at the Railway Club. Anecdotal Evidence is a science storytelling series where people share stories about how science shows up in their lives. It's $5, a suggested donation at the door, and all proceeds are donated to Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland.
Very cool. Also, this weekend on Sunday is the Main Street Record Fair. It's an annual fair, really huge, lots of records. Check it out on Facebook. We'll have a couple folks from CITR there to represent and sell you some records, including some of the Lady Radio staffers, including myself and Dora Duber, who you heard from earlier. And also, the PSA was played earlier, but this Thursday, the 19th, is the Discorder fundraiser at the Astoria. $5 before 10 p.m. We'll be having performances by Late Spring, Mesa Luna, TV Ugly, and Revered. It's going to be great. It's going to be very fun. Come on out and join us. Have a party. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much to Dora, Paula, Katie, Sarah Jickling, Brandon Yen, and all of the Lady Radio crew, as well as you, our listeners, for hanging out with us tonight. Remember, if you'd like to get involved with the Women's Collective, email us at womenscollective@citr.ca.
We'll leave you today with Kali Uchis, her song Rush. She's from Colombia, and she was raised in Virginia, and she's amazing. She does New Age doo-wop is her own description of that. All right, thanks.
Time stops still, feels like we're all going.
just dream.